Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we are going to be learning Iyov Perek Chof Aleph, the 21st chapter of the book of Iyov. And yes, this means to say that today we are halfway through the book of Iyov of 42 chapters. You will be happy to know that I think the second half is somewhat smaller, but nonetheless this is extremely impressive progress in a very, very complex Sefer, one of the most complex Svarim in all of Tanakh. Let's try to appreciate what's going on over here. At this point in time, Iyov has now heard from each of his three friends twice. Eliphaz has made two speeches, Bildad has made two speeches, and Sofer has made two speeches. Iyov is now responding to Sofer's second speech, but it's not just to Sofer. We'll see that he actually responds to all three of them in the speech he makes in Perek Chof Aleph. This is a single perek for a single speech, so there's no further parts of the speech later on. The perek is made up of 34 psukim, and essentially is responding to all three of them. Because you see, at the end, before, in Iyov's response to Sofer's original speech, way back when, Iyov had said to him, had mentioned the idea of Madua Derech HaRishoyim Tzolecho. Why is it that the Rishoyim succeed? Why is it that the evil prosper? Now, technically speaking, Iyov wasn't doing that to reflect upon himself. He was just using that as an example of how it is that Hashem's judgment doesn't seem to be consistent in this world. The Tzadikim suffer and the Rishayim prosper. Each Eliphaz, Sofer, and Bildad went on to answer that specific question in their three speeches now. But in a veiled way, they actually made accusations that the reason why Iyov himself was suffering was because he was really that Rasha. And therefore, although he had it as Tovla, he had good years, now he is really suffering, and they used him as an example. Iyov responds to all three of them, and he rejects all of their three philosophies, and he also rejects and deeply does not appreciate the fact that they accused him of being an expression of Rasha Vatavla. Remember that Eliphaz had said that Rishayim Zam really live in fear constantly because they are ultimately scared of losing their ill-gotten gains. So Iyov just says, look around, look at the world. They don't. They don't live in fear. They live very enjoyably. Sofer had said Rishayim will be cut off, Bildad had said the Rishayim will be cut off, and yet they continue to live. They'll be destroyed eternally. He says, well, we don't see that. We can't see beyond death. And Sofer had said the Rishayim die very fast and live turbulent lives. So he said, no, Tzadikim live similar types of existence and die also in the same way. So let's take a look at the perek inside. It's actually made up of 10 points. He makes 10 points in this speech. The first point is the first three psukim. It's really an introduction. Where he says in his introduction, he says, look, you know, I'm about to explain to you something, but stop interrupting me before you start scorning me. Then after I speak, you can make fun of me like you have up till now. So now he gets into the meat of his speech, his second point. Point two runs from Sukkim Dalad to Zion. And he points out that, look, you can't just focus on me. You seem to be taking me as the lab case and saying, well, look, whatever happens to you must be the way Hashem works. He says, that doesn't make sense. Look around me and look at the rest of the world around me. Madua Rishoyim Yechiyuv Osku Im Gavru Chayil. How could it be that bad people are strong, bad people are succeeding in this world? Malbim points out that essentially the friends looked at him and said, you're an example of Rasha Vatavlai. You're an example of the evil who are prospering. But let's be fair. There are many, 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 many evil people in the world who really do prosper. Let me point them out to you. Now he goes on to give examples. So in point three, he talks about how there are many evil people who have wonderful children. And you said they would all die and not have longevity, but their children scamper about without any fear, without any problems of security in their life. Their livestock births in good health. They do not have any miscarriages. Everything is just fine in their lives. Point four, in Yudbeis to Yudgimel, he says, look, they enjoy their lives and they sing. They make merry their whole lives. And even when they die peacefully. They live just wonderful lives. Look at the world around us. Your arguments are not borne out by the facts. He makes his fifth point, Yudalid to Tesvov, where he says, don't tell me that they're not really Rishayim. So you're going to say, oh, those people who are suffering, you know, those people doing well, they are really actually tzaddikim. It just looks like they're Rishayim. He says, no. V'yomru le'elekel surum yimeni. V'das d'roch echolachofotznu. They explicitly write op-eds in the local paper saying they don't believe in God. They don't want God in their lives. Here they are. They explicitly reject God. And they live wonderful and exorbitant lives. How does that work? He makes his sixth point, and this is really the main point of the perek, and he just says, I don't understand how this works. Look, in the Hain Loiba Yodom Tuva Matzas Roshoim Rochakom Meni, I don't understand how it is that the evil do so well. They should be extinguished and snuffed out. They should be destroyed and scattered in the wind long ago, but yet they are not. That was his main point of the parak in this sixth point, which is Tes Zayin to Yud Ches. Then he goes on, Pesukim Yud Tes to Chof Aleph. In the seventh point, he points out that, look, you argue that Hashem will exact justice later on the offspring of these evildoers. After he dies, there'll be real justice. He says, wait a second, how does that help? That person's not here anymore to see that suffering. It's all very nice that their children are suffering. But what about them? They sinned. Let them see their own suffering. Let them see their family be decimated in front of them because of their terrible actions and lifestyles. Again, we see that Eov is running with the premise that all justice has to be within the confines of this world. He makes his eighth point, and here he makes the clearest contrast. He talks about how it is that he talks about the death of the Rasha and the Tzaddik. He talks about Atinov Malu Chalav Umoyach Atzmosov Yishuke. He talks about this really, the Rasha who dies with his marrow thick, fat, chubby, has lived a life of enjoyment. And you're the other person who dies bitterly, having not experienced the goodness of life. And they die together, they're buried together in the same cemetery. How does that work, Hashem? I just don't understand, Eov says. I don't understand. Why is it that a tzaddik can suffer so much and die, and Russia can enjoy so much of life and die, and they end up in the same space? Doesn't make sense. Your judgment isn't adding up to me, says Eov. He makes his ninth point. And his ninth point is from Chof Zion to Chof Tess, where he says, I know that you made valid accusations against me. I know your thoughts. You thought that I really was a bad person. I know that. But you know what? When you look at my tent, he says, Have you asked passers-by? Have you read the newspapers? Have you read and thought about history, the annals of history, and seen that there are many, many, many terrible people who lived good lives? It just doesn't add up. And finally concludes this 10th and last point from Pasuk Lamed to Lamed Dalad. And therefore he says, you claim that there's justice after death, that the person's going to suffer then, but where's the litigants? Where are the witnesses? Where are the defendants? Where's the justice if a person is dead and there's no one ever to see that justice come out to be? What about the people who are left widowed? What about the people who are left without wealth? What about all the people they left in their path of destruction and there's no justice? And that's therefore he concludes the parak with a very, very bitter accusation. V'eich tanach amuni hevel. So how do you dare try to bring comfort to me with hevel, with nothingness? How do you bring all these claims of emptiness to me? Teshuvoseichem nishar mo'al. And your answers, therefore all your responses, essentially remain as a betrayal to me. He feels his friends have betrayed him because they do not take it seriously. They look at him in a very, very narrow perspective, and they don't understand that the world, the history of the world, the life of the world around them is much more complex. This concludes Eov's response, and now we begin the third round of speeches, which will take on a new topic. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.